Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, everybody, to the On the Edge show with K1 and friends. I start you off. Welcome, everyone. This is
On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends.
I'm your host, Katie Barnett. I start you off a little different today. It's a women's empowerment segment, and I definitely want to be able to get you in the mood. So let's get started. First of all, I would like to make some acknowledgement here. First and foremost,
I want to thank God always, at all times. I thank Him for the opportunity to be here another day. I thank Him for what this show has done. As it stands right now, we are at 2,999 listeners. So I thank everyone that's been out there telling your friends, clicking on the archive, coming in, listening. Everything that we are doing from the heart, and we're doing because we are passionate about the topics and the segments that we bring to you, and entertaining the tide as well as the topic of community tide. Next off, I would like to make one more mention about my artist, Marcus M.C. Silver. He lost his dad 2 days ago. On behalf of the On the Edge show, your friends and fam, our listeners out there, M.C., we have nothing but condolences and support for you, sir. So just know God got your back. We got your back. We'll help you through your grieving process. And hopefully we get to see you up and running in the studio with all your heart and soul into your music for your dad and everyone else, okay? I would also like to announce that we have officially become affiliated with Barry Mason, who you guys all know is our show's official consultant. He used to be Minister Maestro on 98.7 KISS FM in New York. He is currently now the 6 to 10 p.m. Sunday DJ on iSoul Radio with Mr. Jay Dixon. He is also the CEO of Track One Entertainment. Those of you that are in New York, you've all been privileged with the wonderful event that Barry puts together, along with Simply Sensational Inc. Promotion Company, with Stephanie Hammond-Tillett and Marcia Mitchell. We all are out there.
I'm sorry, with Marcia.
We are all out there enjoying what he puts together because he's a genius and they're a genius and they put their heart and soul and commitment into it. We are officially affiliated with them, so we will be furthering their promotion on the show. And last but not least, I'd like to announce that our OTE Artist Market Showcase is now including 2 new artists. One is Kayla Shea from Toledo, Ohio. She's pretty talented. We played her on the air about 2 broadcasts ago, and she's a single of the single Lie to Me. She's awesome. She's good. She's dedicated, wonderful human being. I also would like to announce that we have a new artist for right here in New York City. His name is Mike Check. Yesterday I played his new single, Rewind, Me and My Shorty. So you will be hearing a little bit from them sometime today throughout the broadcast. I do want to announce that this segment has preempted all other segments because the topic tonight is pretty important. And we have a special guest that's going to be on here to get his viewpoint. Believe it or not, ladies, there are men out there that believe in us. And the rest of you that are out there, just keep it coming. You will be hearing from my co-host, Lady Diamond, who she has some very strong and insightful views for the community topics, and she definitely has a lot to say on the subject today. So, let me begin. Tonight's episode is called Women in the Economy, Suppressed Powers, Missed Solutions. Okay? We have, for years, women have proven to be empowered. We have managed to be families, stand behind our men. We have managed to be big childbearers. We have, let me check this mic, just give me a sec. I'm getting the echo of I am, you guys are as well.
Okay, Okay, those of you offering me feedback, is it getting any better? We go through this all the time, but we will get these messages out. Okay, thank you there. Okay, we've been empowered. We are great decision makers. We are great budget people. We know how to play many roles to keep our family together, to keep our daily lives in balance. But the problem is that a lot of what we need to do, we're not being properly represented, properly afforded the luxuries to do what men can do in the workforce. And believe it or not, I've been doing a lot of research today, and I've come up with quite a few interesting key points that I would like to bring up. First and foremost, according to the United Nations Entity of Gender Equality and Empowerment of Women, which is known as unwomen.org, women represent 40% of the workforce. However, we are poorly misrepresented in public and corporate decision-making. We are a growing proportion of overseas migrant labor force. Can you imagine, even as our jobs are being outsourced, women are still playing a larger part overseas. One of the things that we all know is that women have a majority of multiple tasks and unpaid labor and responsibility. So a mass of the jobs that needs to be done, the important dirty stuff, the important gritty stuff, the down-to-earth relevant things are done by women. For example, I like to make this joke all the time. Men go out there and they can slay the dragon, but when they bring it home, we have to figure out what to do with it. So we make the meals of it. We clean it up, and we make sure that the men still have clean places, they're cared for, they're fed, and they're back in bed to do it all over again the next day. We deal with the children. We deal with keeping the children from tearing each other's heads off. We come up with how to budget up the money. We have to think about how to make it work. Okay? The average guy, no offense, fellas, you guys kind of need everything in place where you could see, feel, touch, get it together. Okay. Another thing we would like to bring up is that behind every great man, there's a great woman. There's a great woman. And that usually is the case when it's a nice, solid bond between the couple. Going back in our history as Americans, there's quite a few first ladies that did some very important things. Okay? We know of two that are extremely, extremely, extremely powerful and prominent now. Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama. But there were a few others. Dolly Madison, way back in the day, she knew how to save what was considered trademarks and important mementos of the White House when there was a war going on. So she was the one who went in there and, understanding the value of it, she put it together and made sure that we have it to this day to appreciate. We all know about Eleanor Roosevelt. Eleanor Roosevelt was one of the people that sat there and stood behind Teddy Roosevelt. She made sure that everybody got their education. Jackie Kennedy, who could forget her? She was fashionable. She stood behind her man. She knew how to have dignity and poise with the public. Betty Ford was the first one to open up about her affiliation with psychiatric treatment, plus her drug addiction, as you know. Rose Carter, she was behind Jimmy Carter, who I believe was one of the greater presidents as well. She stood behind him. She advocated for everyone to get out there and have equal rights and civil rights as women. Hillary Clinton, what can we say about her? She's everything. She's been behind a man. She stood in the test of in the face of scandal and stood up there and still raised a wonderfully respectable daughter who went to college and got married, who stood behind her man even when the scandal of sexual overturns came through, and got to run for senator and president and stood behind Obama being chosen as the Secretary of State. Now we get to Miss Obama. Mrs. Obama, lawyer, advocate for fitness and teens, advocate for going out there and making sure children are active and not obese, stands behind her man, can handle a crowd. But above all, with all of that, just as most women do, she says she's first a mom. So now let's apply all of these things that women do and take it to the workplace and then apply it to the economy as it stands now. Okay? Corporations have this tendency to believe that only the non-parent, only the single, only the males can handle corporate jobs. They have the opinion that any mother that comes on an interview, they're foreseeing child care problems. They're foreseeing that there's going to be call-outs, there's going to be a sick day, there's going to be something that's going to affect their office work. Possibly. But before that happens, a woman has gone to that interview foreseeing all of what her situation already is, and she's already covered or anticipated what might happen. Now, does she get the chance to sit in an interview and explain all that? Not all the time, if ever. But here's the thing. A woman is an accountant. A woman can handle different personalities. A woman thinks about how to make what little resources are available work when more should have been there. We are critical thinkers. We are penny pinchers. We do not get involved with worrying about going out there to puff up our chest and get into a fight and figure out who's stronger than the other. We need to make it work, and we need to make it work now. We are dedicated to making sure that we are loyal to what we do. We are better cleaners. We are better cleaners. We are very organized in our thinking, and that doesn't mean that there's not one or two or three that's out there that don't fit the bill. We can cook. We can make a meal out of something. This is what we do. The problem is, we're not being afforded the right to utilize and execute our skills to the max. So how can this work? We have an economy that's in trouble. And the best way for a business to be able to thrive and to make it is to be able to have a way where that business can empower themselves, to be able to reinvest into themselves and bring in more revenue. How can we do that if all of our jobs are being taken away, if half these corporations are afraid to look at the big part of the workforce that's still out there, which is a woman, and you know what? A mother, even more, if I should dare say. A mother is out there. Mothers all over the world, we're the hardest workers, we're the most dedicated. They will work and make sure that everything for their families never go wrong. We make sure that we take pride in what we do. We will report every morning because we're used to doing that anyway. And before we've reported to your work, by 8 o'clock in the morning, we have already done 5 jobs. Possibly with a little bit of sleep because we want to make sure that everybody, including the man in our life, has laid down to rest and has been fed and cleaned and massaged and everything else. So I have a question. Nowadays, we have technology. If you're short on quality workers, if you're waiting for people to come out with experience, trust me, a degree is not all that you need for experience, unless it's some computer tech job. But if you want somebody that can run an office with multiple problems going on, with multiple solutions that need to be found, with multiple problems going on, with you having one person sitting in a chair that needs to think for 5 people, that needs to be able to fill in where there's a missing worker, where this one called in sick, where I need to learn fast and need to learn now because I need to fill in at this moment. If you need someone that's going to know how to keep you calm while you're going bananas and see a solution in the middle of a problem, you need a woman. Because we think past what's in front of us. And like I said, this does not take away from any of those gentlemen that are out there working hard and thinking and do have critical thinking powers. And do deal with organization. But even with the best of you, there's still something, one more thing a woman can do better. And this is not to take away from any capabilities. But the problem is that the workforce is not allowing us to do our best. Now, let me tell all of you corporate workers out there something. If you really want to have full productivity and yield out products better and have a better, more organized operation, why don't you allow for some real work from home positions? Not the ones where we make commission, but the ones where you offer a W-4, a W-2, we clock in, we clock out. Because one thing about a mother, especially a woman, we just need to know our family's okay and we want to make money while not taking away from our family. And if we can do that, not only are our mindsets twice as set and secure, but our dedication, our loyalty, and our productivity is going to be even 3 times better than it already is. The resources that we will think of and come up with when we're short something, the problem solving that we think of, the decision making that we can see, the long-term overall big picture that we can see. If any of you allowed us to have real commuting jobs and real work from home positions, you would have the biggest, strongest workforce and worker base that you've ever experienced. Quality worker base. Because we're long term, we're persevering, we're resourceful. We are resourceful. We are dedicated. We think about the long term. We don't think about the short term. But we do think about the short term in terms of working now for the long term. Our frustration level, we have a tolerance that's higher than the Empire State Building. We can deal with loud mouths. We can deal with attitudes. We can deal with crummy, crabby days. We know how to work without having to worry so much about where the money's coming from because we've been dealing for so long in thankless, payless, no vacation days jobs. And that saying about a woman's work is never done and a man may work from sun to sun, not a cliche. We've learned how to be a nurse, a counselor, a softball coach, a carpool driver, a masseuse, a psychologist, a counselor, a work person, and we can still come up with white shining teeth in a business suit and a briefcase ready to hit the board meeting. Now, where are you corporations out there trying to find a real worker base? I believe I have a caller coming in, and I would like to get their input on this. Let me see. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, who's this?
This is Lady Diamond. How are you?
Hi, Lady Diamond. I would announce to everyone that you will be here to give your insightful input today. So tell me, what is your take on women and the workforce? And do you think the economy would flourish a lot better if corporations gave women a fairer shot?
Well, yeah, I feel that women should get a fair shot in the corporate world. I mean, actually, if you think about it, there's a lot of women out there who, like you said, that have children, who are, like myself, are in school and are doing a lot of other activities and still trying to find a way to get a job. And just recently, I just got hired after a very, very long time of being unemployed. And not to say because I have a child or anything like that, it's just very tough. It's like I have to know somebody in order for me to get into a position that I'm in right now and actually knew the people to get in there. And that's the worst thing. Compared to years back, they go by your education, you know, you have your associate's degree, you have a way of getting in. You have your foot in the door. You have a high school diploma. You have your foot going to the door. Nowadays, you don't even need any of that. You just have to know somebody to get into the position, any position that's in any job out there. So it makes it harder for not only women but everybody else to actually, you know, go out there and make money for themselves and their family.
Absolutely. And I brought up a mention where I feel that, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. There's a little technical issue on my end. I believe that one of the things that I know that a lot of moms especially are going through is childcare. And, you know, your mind is kind of hard to focus on your job when you know that your child's in daycare or your child is with the babysitter or there's things that went wrong at home, like your child is sick today, for example, we will still get up and go to work, and we've already figured out how we're going to have somebody stay here to take care of them. But we would be the most productive people if we would be able to stay with our families and still have a real income. So I believe, especially now with everything going online, that if corporations, big-time corporations, offered a true work-from-home position in their companies where they could be monitored, we got to log in by video, we have to punch in and punch out like everybody else, we get W-4s and W-2s at the end of the year, a real paycheck with pay stubs. You know, if that could happen, as if we just have a virtual office, which they can do when they're doing mergers around the world, why couldn't they do that with quality workers that would be able to contribute and yield a lot higher if they were all secured and mentally okay and everything, that would give their all? There's so many false jobs out there. You got to worry about scams. You got to worry about it's real, but you got to put money up first, so you got to bring this out. Why aren't these corporations reaching out in that way?
That is the truth. That is true. I mean, why are these corporations, aren't they reaching in a certain way to actually, you know, if a woman's having a hard time getting a job, and me, I mean, like, for myself, for example, I've looked for a job for a very long time, and all that will come up with is a pyramid scheme and, you know, work at home, but most of these, like, all of these work at home jobs, there's no W-2 form, there's no W-4 form, there's no such thing. And it's all, you're not even getting an income off of that. You know, it's nothing that comes to you. And the amount of work you put into it, you don't get anywhere with it. You know, then there's another one. They send you money online, or, you know, they send you money at home, and they want you to, actually, it's like money laundering. You're taking money out, putting it into your bank account, then putting money somewhere else, not knowing that you're losing money along the way as well, not gaining anything. So it's like,
yeah,
it's like a lot of things that's going on that people they fall for, and you know, it's really hard. People are desperate to get a job. Like I said, it's like you have to know somebody to get in, which is ridiculous. It shouldn't be that way anymore. It should not be that way.
It shouldn't be that way. And the thing is, it's like, you know, this is, I love to make this comparison because there's such a stigma and a stereotype in these employers and these big corporations' minds. But one thing I love to bring up is this. Do you remember when the cell phone first came out?
Oh, yes.
Now, the cell phone at the time was only a luxury afforded to the rich and the creditworthy. At the time, beepers were only supposed to be for doctors and lawyers and, you know, I guess bodyguards or whatever the case was. Then it became a thing for drug dealers and for criminals to contact, but that was pagers. But let's talk about the cell phone. You couldn't get a cell phone unless you had a perfect credit, or if your credit was acceptable, you had to pay a huge deposit. But you know what? The bigger spending market was in the poor people who had no credit. So what happened? One smart businessman said, you know what? The money's over there. You know, the money's over there. There's a big, huge market of people that are willing to spend even with poor home situations. But we have to cover ourselves because, you know, if these people are poor, then they might stick us with bills. So how do we grab that market, but at the same time protect ourselves? And what did they come up with? They came up with the prepaid cell phone, which now even rich people use. But I can guarantee you one thing, that prepaid cell phone business picked up a whole lot more than they ever expected. Why? Because the people that they don't think, by looks and by demographics and by outside postures or whatever the case is, they believe that's not going to be good for us or be productive. Meanwhile, the hidden market with that one businessman that did go out there and say, you know what, let me look into this, because there's a whole lot of people that don't have money but they're spending like crazy. So what did they do? Somebody said, let me put together, how do we protect ourselves? Because these people obviously can't afford to pay a monthly bill. So how do we protect ourselves but grab a piece of that big, rich market? They came up with the prepaid cell phone. and now with prepaid contract or non-contract, but it acts like a contract, then they put a lot of restrictions on there. But guess what? Now everything is prepaid.
Well, yeah, now
because
talk
you know what? The poor people were out there, the mothers that needed a phone for their kids, or the man that needed to contact his wife but couldn't have a phone, they went out there and they said, let's get past the boardroom for a minute and let's look over there because those people are buying stuff. They're buying stuff. So that's the way I equate this to what corporations are missing out on when they don't reach into the mother's home, the women. The women do way more in 1 hour than men do in a six-hour day.
That's right.
So if you reached in and said, let me see, what exactly, you're a hardworking person, you've managed to raise three kids by yourself, and you do this, so how do you manage all this? Then you get to tell them. So then why don't they say, well, what would make you be more efficient for this position? How about you allow me to have a virtual office from home where I got to punch in a regular clock, I got to punch out, I get a real salary, I get a real W-4, a real W-2. If I have to come in once a week to report to you face-to-face, no problem.
Right.
But I would feel a lot more comfortable if I could be home with my children and still be able to bring in a real income.
That's right.
If this technology is working now, why aren't these corporations reaching right here in America to do that for women? And so your thoughts on that would be what, lady?
So my thought would be, I mean, it would be a huge thing. Corporate, I don't know, the corporate world, I really don't know what they're thinking. I don't know why they can't actually do it that way. But to me, I mean, in my point of view, I think that has to do a lot with money. Are they willing to put in the money to invest in something like that, to actually have people work from home and, and work for them at home and, not clock in, clock out? And that's the thing. They probably want someone that is, like, visible for them to see. And it's just ridiculous on that part, I mean, they should be able to do what you just said. Why not have people work from home and, clock in, clock out, online and the internet, because we all have internet. You can do it on the internet. You can do it over the phone. You have the internet right there. You can still do the work, and still get paid for it. But then I guess, like I said, they probably want to see a face-to-face person that they're there, visible for them to see them working. I really don't know what's the main reason. And the other thing is that I realize that the interviews I've gone to, and probably the interviews that everybody else has gone to, that these employees, they ask illegal questions. They ask questions that they're not supposed to be asking. It's like you're filling out a job application. There's a lot of illegal information that's on that you don't have to answer, but it's like it's on you. You have no choice but to give them a response. It's like, you're in an interview and someone says, okay, do you have children? That's none of their business. That's an illegal question. How old are you? That's also an illegal question. It's like so many questions are being thrown at people, and it's like they have no choice but to answer. And they're going to end up giving a response to the employer that's going to say, okay, this person has so many kids, I don't need them because this person's going to have a lot of problems with, being at work on time or actually, fulfilling the duties in the job. So it's like, it's so many illegal questions and so much illegal stuff that's going on during the interview and in the corporate world that, that nobody even looks at it and says, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be asking me that question. Why are you asking me a question that's personal, such as that?
And that does deem right under the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, you cannot ask that question. And you know what the problem is? That a lot of us are not empowered ourselves to say that that's not a question you should be asking me.
Exactly.
What does my position as a mother have to, do with this position?
Mm-hmm.
Understand? If you could ask me if I can travel, that's a yes or no answer. If you're asking me how old am I, what does that have to do with it?
Mm-hmm. I have one that the employer asked, am I planning to have more kids? That's none of your business.
What?
That was the first answer that came out of my mouth. I was like, that's none of your business. I plan to have 5 more kids. It's my business, not yours.
Of course, I didn't put that job. And report that, because that's a definite violation and discrimination.
Oh, yeah, I did.
That's discrimination outright. And that person who interviewed you, I don't know if he's read the rules of that, or if he just was just bold being bold, because that's a little crazy.
Being bold, I think.
Okay, I wanted to reread a couple of key points because a lot of people just joined me. According to the UNWomen.org, if I got that URL correctly, if just in case I didn't, the organization is the United Nations entity of gender equality and empowerment of women. Okay, there's a few key points that they brought up that kind of, you know, caught my eye. Women represent 40% of the actual working force, and there's about a 27% of the unemployed people that belongs to women being unemployed. There's a few more interesting statistics in that same area, which I will post on the Facebook page later, that even breaks down the percentage in demographics and by whether mothers, are they single? You understand? The other thing is that 40% of the workforce is poorly represented in public and corporate decision-making. Decision-making of all things that they're misrepresenting a woman in, a woman that has to take an eight-hour day and make more decisions in that day for less people but more relevant people than the president makes in an hour. And the president has a cabinet that does certain things before they even get to him, and he's still got to give it to someone else to say yes or no. So if we have to make these decisions, and then you could look at our families and see that they're striving very well, despite whatever obstacles we're facing, why would not any smart business savvy person not look into that market and say, hey, wait a minute, we've been trying it like this all this time, but there's just that something missing. What do we need? The same way the man who started the cell phone business said, wait a minute, we got the same old credit worthy people, we're getting stuck just as much. Yes, we're getting sales, but we could still get more than that. So where do we go next? We done cornered every market with every rich person. We've mass marketed to every business, every lawyer, every doctor, every millionaire. But we still need more sales. So how do we do it? Somebody said, let's go into the poor neighborhoods and see what the women are doing. Let's see what the poor folks are doing. Ooh, they're spending. Wait a minute. That's a pair of Jordans. That's $300. Clearly, that don't look like a $300 a week family. So how are we getting this? How we getting this is that we like to enjoy what we have, whether we've got it or not. And guess what? When they saw that, they said, ooh, there goes the other market. Right there. But wait a minute. These people are going to stick us. These people are going to stick us because they can't afford monthly bills. How do we do it? Prepaid. So why isn't there a bunch of corporations going, wait a minute, we've been looking at all these fresh out of college kids. It's got something, but not really. They might get upset later and leave us. What do we do? Where do we go? Hey, single mothers. Hey, women. Bored housewives. People really trying to make a difference in their life. The woman with the disabled husband. The woman with the child that she can't leave, if I give her a home office, how would that work? You're not giving me money. You're asking me to take care of administrative work, which I can do from a computer and email you back. So why would you not take advantage of that? And with the most resourceful, productive, yielding group of people in the whole workforce. And like I said, fellas, please, this is not to take away from all you hardworking guys out there that are capable of standing on your own two feet. Just that no matter how good you do it, we always have it a little bit better because we have more to deal with. And at the end of the day, we still, after we have fixed a hot meal, we have bathed our children, read their stories, brushed their teeth, after we have made every dry cleaning pickup, every supermarket decision, every laundry run, the carpooling, the show up to cheerlead for your child's play. After we have picked up every horrible drawing they ever drew and love it to our heart, we can still dress up in a business suit. Dress up in a business suit with our teeth shining and bright in a briefcase, ready to tell you in all classy and mature ways how we're going to be an asset to your company, despite all of our daily stuff. I have another caller, Elaine. Stay, Lady Diamond, stay on the line there, okay?
Yes, I will.
Welcome, you're on the air with On the Edge.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
How are you, Katie?
I'm fine, Deacon Williams. How you doing?
Deacon Williams, meet
my co-host, Lady Diamond. Lady Diamond, this is Deacon Williams, the one that's been given all of our input from Toledo, Ohio, the activist that I told you has been contributing to our topics.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Hello, nice to meet you also, and God bless you and your family.
And you too.
Yes. Yes, the conversation is really striking and is very moving, and I agree with everything you ladies are speaking on. And it's puzzling to me why society, and especially here in the United States, aren't utilizing the talents and the brains that these women that we have in this country that, I mean, it's just automatically you would think that they would be utilizing their talents a lot more. Our country would be a lot better off if they would start allowing these women to, you know, be a lot a stronger fit in society, because it's not really fair.
It's very nice to hear a man say that. And, you know, the thing is that there are a lot of men, and believe it or not, I have heard a lot of men out there that actually do acknowledge that, you know, a woman is sort of the backbone of every family, of the world, of the earth. But you know what? Those men need to be advocating in a way where, listen, it's not just about that. It's about this economy. It's about their children, our children. It's about us. I'm going to read something that you guys need to know.
Can I make just one comment before you do?
Sure.
Okay, I have a question. Okay, the woman came from the man from where?
The rib.
From the rib. So that's his side, right?
Right.
Yep, his side.
Right? So a woman's place is at a man's side, not behind his back, not in front of him, but right at his side. That's supposed to be a team that was put together by God. So at any time that we can go against that, that shows us that we are off base, way off base.
Amen.
Oh, I love that saying. I say that a lot to my students every weekend during my Bible classes. You know, I mean, the woman came from the man's rib. It's not below him. It's not above him. It's not beside. It's right beside, under his arm, near his heart.
That's right.
That's, you know, I'm happy that you brought that up. That's great.
Yeah.
Hey, Deacon Williams, can you please repeat that for my listeners loud and clear, please?
Okay, a woman's place is by a man's side. You know, one is no better than the other. They're supposed to be equal partners. You know, they're supposed to be equal life partners. That's why God created the woman for the man, to be his help. Not his slave, not his waitress, and not his maid, but his help.
And you know what? What they fail to realize, and this applies for corporate as well, is that a woman will hustle and bustle for things she cares about and believes in, things that are important. She will make it happen. And believe me, the state of the country, if there was a woman president, all the things that would matter in her family would matter to her for the country. She would make the country her family. And this is not, like I said, to take away from anybody else. But you know what? God designed you men to go out there and slay the dragons. But he designed the women to clean up the bloody mess and make a meal out of it.
Yes,
and this
yes,
is not
yes.
a cliche. It happens. I do need to read this to you because this sort of disturbed me. According to CNSnews.com, there is an article that was written a few months ago, on July 6th of 2012, about a year ago, where they placed the blame of women being more unemployed today than when Obama took office on President Barack Obama. Now, I'm going to say this, that the only truth to me that's in this is the time frame. The fact that they took a survey in June was 5,785,000, which is an increase, according to them, of 780,000 people from when Barack Obama was inaugurated in January of 2009, because at that time, the number of unemployed women was 5,005,000. Okay. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics of the United States. Now, here's my question. How is that Barack Obama's fault when he was brought in to a mess? And we're going to go back to this. But that's not the problem. The problem is that long before there was a Barack Obama or even the Bushes, all of our jobs are being outsourced. All of our self-maintaining or self-sustaining programs are being cut off because they're spending it on war. They're not looking, as we keep saying tonight, to the woman workforce. They're looking at all the things that look image perfect and not what's actually working for the businesses. If you can't take care of striving your own internal structure, how in the hell are you going to do anything out for the other people? The other fact from the UNWomen.org that bothered me was that a growing proportion of overseas migrant labor force is women. So even as they're stealing our jobs from here and shipping them to outsource overseas, a whole population of women is doing those jobs. So here we go again. But in this country, we are too busy trying not to clean up our own spring cleaning closet while we're busy trying to go be maid service to everyone else. We're so busy looking at what's politically correct, what looks good on a video, what looks good to a company image, that you're not seeing that the image is what is inside. That the image you show on the outside has to portray what's actually going on inside. And you cannot be productive without looking for your best qualified person. And that, dear, is our women. We don't have to stop and think when something is in our face. We just look at what the problem is and say, what's more important to take care of right now? The rest can come in place. A man will panic. And, you know, Deacon Williams, I'm not taking any offense to you. It's like, it's just the way that it goes.
No offense taken.
We women think a lot more critically. We do, especially if our child is sick and we got another one to take to school. We have to think, okay, if I give this child some fever medication right now, at least he'll be well enough for me to take him into the car so I can take this one to school and then take him to the doctor and be right back here for the next one. Oh, Lord, how am I going to get dinner done? Okay, you know what? Tonight we'll do pizza. So we have to think about 500 things in an hour to do for five different people, including the man that's out going to work, that's about to come home this afternoon and has his own needs. So we know how to do all of that and still think, you know what, I need to make some money because my husband's income is not enough. We need more things. We need to upgrade. The kids got ballet. The kids got soccer camp. Oh, my God, Jimmy is going to be in the volleyball team today. I know he needs me there to cheer him on. Sandy's going to be on a play. And we have to think about all that and still got to come home and watch the news to make sure the weather's okay. How do we dress the kids the next day? And if we are working even part-time, okay, I got to give Mr. Jones this. And we don't get half the return investment that we put out. Many thankless days, no vacation time, no sick days, no sleeping time. We have to be a nurse, a counselor, a wife, a psychiatrist, a mediator, a softball coach, a carpool driver, a good neighbor, a good Samaritan. All in one head, we have all these acts, and we do it. So why wouldn't the workforce, if they truly want a sustained business that's going to evolve with time and stay strong and stand still, why would they not want the most loyal, persevering, long-term thinking, multitasking, available, empowered, and capable group workforce? That's my question. So your thoughts on, I mentioned earlier, Deacon Williams, that I believe that if a woman was able to have a true certified and real work-from-home position, the company would have a higher yield of productivity from that work. What are your thoughts on that?
Would you repeat that, please?
Okay. I believe that if corporations would offer a real certified quality work-from-home position in their company, they would have a higher yield of production, okay, productivity from that worker.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. As a matter of fact, you put a man in that position, I don't think he could be as productive as that woman could, and that's just my honest opinion.
Lady Diamond, what's your take on that one?
I feel the same way. I mean, they should give an opportunity for women also, you know, women to work from home and actually get paid for it. That, I mean, it would be a great idea, especially for those who are struggling.
And that's the thing. Those who are struggling would not only be a problem, but this economy would strive from it because there's more taxes to
exactly.
be taken out of someone's paycheck. There's more jobs. We would have less reliability on outside sources. We would have
yeah.
less vulnerability because people who now we are dependent on can easily say, oh, big grand United States, you need us now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And
you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You go first.
Okay, the mic goes to you, Deacon.
Okay, my opinion is that I feel as though women make better multitaskers than us men. I really do feel that. Because if you look at some of the work they have to do at home, they are multitaskers. You know, they have more than one job to take care of. And me, myself, I get frustrated with a lot of things that I'm trying to do all at once, and I have to pull somebody in to give me a hand. But the women, they seem to flow with that.
We do. We don't see the panic situation as quickly as you guys do. Actually, we don't start to panic until we've reached the last backup option in our head. Because we
right.
always got to think of a backup. You know, if
well,
you guys...
That's
yeah.
the thing. We always have a backup plan. We always think ahead of time, and we always have not only one backup plan. We have, like, plan A, plan B, plan C, right along with it. Just in case if one fails, we got another one coming after it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I know sometimes I get to a point to where if it don't work, oh, man, it didn't go through for me this time, the heck with it. Let me go do something else. You know, that's just me. So if any other guys out there that are men enough to stand up and pick up the phone and want to chime in on that, come on and join me.
You know, it would be nice to hear that from some other men because, you know, the thing is like a lot, that's the other thing. Too many men are going like, oh boy, that's a heated discussion. We're going to piss off some women. No, you're not. We
no,
need
not.
To hear what you really think so that we know. I'm looking for businesses to come in on this because it's a chance for them to defend themselves or to learn something. You know? I'm a person that I think outside the box at all times. So I'll go outside and if they say, all right, customer service means you go out and you say, hi, sir, may I help you? I'll say something totally out the box, shock them a little bit, and they'll laugh because they realize it's a joke. Because that's me. I know how real people think, you know, and that's, the, you know, how people think. That's the other thing a woman has that men don't. We are more emotional thinkers. We think more personally. We talk more from the heart. So we get to know into the minds of people a lot more. You know, we know how to not have to stand up and go, he gave me a wrong look. I'm not going to go over there and talk to him. You understand?
Yeah.
We'll sit there and go, okay, this is a guy that he got an ego problem, so how do I approach this? Okay, let me go over there and tell him that he has a nice shirt on so he can start smiling like an idiot, and here we go. You understand? So that's
that
how we'll
do. I do that with my boss, too.
And I've always been the type, too, that if I could read a certain sign from you and I walk up and talk to you about what I'm selling or what I'm pitching, you can believe whatever you like to believe while I'm standing there as long as I get the transaction done and you get that if you try it, it's over. There's a lot of guys. We all know what guys think with first, so hello. If I
yep.
walk over here, how are you? Hey, how you doing? Yeah, man, would you like to take a survey today? You understand?
And I said you wear a low enough blouse.
Would you like to take a survey today, sir? Yes. Are you taking the survey? Yes. Okay, well, what's the survey about? Then there you go. Bingo. You can start talking. And as soon as it's over, so can I get your number? Yes. It's on the survey. It goes to the office upstairs. Thank you. You understand that type of thing? We know how to think that way. We don't have the pride you men have to get something done. If our children are hungry, we're going to ask people we never asked before, even if we got to take people talking crap.
That's right.
Because that's what we have to do. You guys will sit back and go, I'm not going to go do that. No, I'm a man. I can do this. You know what I mean? No, your children are hungry. You're going to have to stop and ask. Everybody has a bad point. This is what we would do in the office. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. Today the copy machine is all messed up. He could be mad and we'll still know how to say, I understand, sir. By that time, if a customer has screamed and yelled too hard at a guy, well, listen, I said I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me interject on that. This is one man that was that was basically raised by his mother. And she had taught me to, a lot of times I have to swallow my pride, that if I need something, there's no shame in going to somebody and asking them for something if you need it. You know, so that's always been my way of doing things. So I've never been too proud if I needed something, or if I needed something for my kids. I wasn't too proud to go and ask for it and let them know, hey, I'm in need, and if you can help me, I would appreciate it, and I will give it back to you as soon as I can. You know, so, you know, I can't say all men think that way, but I'm one that does. So
that's an absolute treasure to hear, and you need to spread a little bit of that sensitivity and sensibility around where you are to a lot more of men. And guess what? The way I look at it, we're a big grandstand first world country, and we're in need and have to ask for help.
Right, right.
We're in a national deficit. And possibly because all we're doing is being highly technologically advanced, while we're silly as hell right here in our own home. Because you're
right.
So busy looking at the big stuff, you forgot the little stuff that makes the big stuff happen. You got hungry people in your own neighborhood, but you're giving away food. You got people with no homes, but you're defending war. You've got businesses that are closing up because they're losing people, but you have a whole workforce out there that are already developed and ready to go, and all they need to learn is the specifics of your company.
Correct, correct.
You don't need to teach a woman how to be resourceful or loyal or on time or reliable. You don't need to teach her how to learn how to do two things at once, how to dress well, how to carry herself. How to say thank
Correct.
You and good morning and may I help you, sir? You don't need to teach them to do any of that. All you need to teach them is that if I'm working for Merrill Lynch and Company, Merrill Lynch puts their papers in the pink folder in the back file every day at 4 o'clock. That's it. And whatever other company policies that are specific to that facility. That's it, because we come in ready and eager and happy as heck that we got money coming in. But still have loyalty beyond the paycheck. That's the other thing that comes with the woman's workforce. Really sad situation that we can't get past the old double standard, the old stereotypes, the old, oh, no, a woman needs to be in the kitchen raising the kids. Oh, no, if she's on her rad this month, I don't know. This is, if we get past all that garbage, we can do three times the stuff you could do in less time with more productivity and more well-organized. And not taken away from the gentlemen out there that are in tune with their organization side. But we're just naturally built that way because we were forced to stay home back in the day to raise the children and to do all the right things while the man went off to war, to come back with a busted limb or a chewed off arm and a big floppy dragon or a bull or whatever it was. And all you
Well,
had
I can tell you, I can tell you this much. If the world had to wait for men to produce babies, I know I wouldn't be one, so this world wouldn't be very populated.
It wouldn't be populated at all.
No, it wouldn't,
it
be,
wouldn't
populated.
Be populated at all.
There's no,
not
no.
Not only have to take the pain that we go through, just childbirth alone.
No, because I witnessed my children coming to the world, and I said, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making me a man.
I've got a question. You said, Lady Diamond, you said they couldn't take the pain? Is that what you said? The pain is at the end of it. They couldn't take the nausea.
Just them watching it is enough pain for them.
Listen, they couldn't take the nausea of early trimester. Can you imagine?
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to be able to sit through and watch the birth of my child, but. When this was before I was saved, I had a few shots of Hennessy before then, but after that, I almost didn't make it though, but.
I remember my daughter's father, he just came out with a video camera. Like, he was recording me. After I told him not to, he was close to fainting right in front of me while I was giving birth to my daughter. So I was can't take the pain. Can't even watch the pain of it. So.
That's not what they were grossed out by. They couldn't take the stuff that comes with the baby. Because that's what they were talking about.
Yes, God bless you, women. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. And to top it off, I used to say all the time that it takes a woman to get a man here, and a man has the nerve to grow up and disrespect or suppress her.
Isn't that something?
You know? That's why I look at my sons, and every time they have a mouth, I go, do you know how long I stood in pain for you?
Yeah,
every
yeah.
minute that you got a mouth, I'm thinking about the minute that I had to scream and beg for painkillers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they said, you are too far gone, Miss Barnett. You cannot have any painkillers.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm still here, and I thank God every day to still have my mother still here in this world. And she's 84 years old, and I thank God for her every day. And there's not one time has she heard anything vulgar come out of my mouth. Have I ever said anything disrespectful to her out of all the years I've been living? And I could thank God for that.
Yes, but that's definitely something to be proud of to this day. Something to be proud of, because it's a hard thing when the youth start to disrespect where they came from.
And
that's
yeah,
and it's not that many people out there that, you know, that they thank God for having a mother that was there for them, you know, throughout all
yeah.
the years, either working or at home. Either way, they're working. We're working at home, and then they're working in the outside. I mean, there's not that many people out there that they will actually thank their mother and say, you know what, thank you, Mom, for taking care
yeah.
of me. Thank you, Mom, for, you know, being there for me, even through all the, you know, problems I put you through. Thank you,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
There's not that
yeah.
many people that would say that.
And I wasn't a model child, mind you. that's for sure. I was a long way from a model child coming up, so that's why I can thank God that she is still here to see the change that God has made in me and turn my life around. So thank you, Mom.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really wonderful. And back to what we were speaking about with the women being a asset to the workforce. I believe that right now we wouldn't be in such an economic deficit. And I believe
right.
that even with it being as bad as it is, if all of these corporations even started, like, let's just say one each, an experimental, like took a group of a certain amount of women and did the experimental virtual office or virtual commuting thing, and women started to see real checks, you know, real
mm-hmm.
checks, real ways to report taxes at the end of the year, I mean, all of these things, I would love to see how quickly we would start to see an increase in internal revenue.
But Katie,
yeah.
Katie, check this out. I mean, Matt, all right, I'm going to use an example. Oprah, all right, she opened up a school. She opened up a school. And imagine, that's her alone just opened a school, even though besides all what was happening along the way with the school, she opened up the school from her heart because she wanted these kids to grow. Imagine, I mean, if the women in this world, you know, actually just, you know, pull through and actually, you know, start working in the workforce, start getting into corporate, you know, imagine how big it would be. The schools probably will be a lot more stronger. Some, you know, I'm using Oprah as an example because she's a great example for it.
Wow. Wow. That's something.
Think about that.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it
you see, that's, we definitely, listen, the things that we could do, if they, not only that, you know something else that I meant to bring up? I meant to bring this up. Not only are they not reaching out to us as a workforce, but if a woman is actually trying to start a business, do you know how many extra restrictions banks are giving corporations, agencies? Do you know that even the grants that they offer women are a lot more skimpy than what they would offer a man trying to start a business? How many more extra women-only things we have to do just to get started when,
yeah.
like, again, it's ridiculous. Like, if we went to school and we got a degree or we obtained a degree and a man went to the same school and obtained that same degree and probably with a lower GPA, there's just something about them saying a man can do it. No, because they're the first ones that will take their money and run. They're the first ones that will say, I'm bored with this job. I'm out of here. And I wonder why that is. Women, a woman's business, starting a business, there'd be nothing she would do. Listen, we started this show together, right, Lady Diamond? How
yes,
often have you seen us Me nonstop sleeping, us working on websites before this even
throwing
came
ideas
out.
Up, everything. Right, yes. We push all the way through, through faith and through, you know, pure motivation.
Pure motivation. We had a reason behind it. There's something that we wanted to get out. There's people we wanted to touch. There was people we wanted to make smile and make informed. These are the
and
things that we
heard.
Would do with our children sitting right there. How often have you been to business meetings at my house while I'm sitting, you know, dealing with my twins' homework and still planning something with coffee for the rest of you? I mean, this is just what we do. Is what we do. And they have the nerve to have a restriction like there's some sort of underlying, you know, liability that a woman would have to obtain a loan for her business. They have a lot of women requiring, they require a lot more supporting documentation and supporting report receipts. While a man could sit up there and say, well, you know what, we're constructing a business, and, you know, we need like $30,000 just to get the beans up.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman could go and say, I just need $3,000 to get equipment, to get a startup fund, have a little bit in the corporate account to pay some petty cash. Well, we need to receive receipts for this, a business plan. Where's your proposal? Where's your backup? And what's your projection?
See, now, stuff like that, when that happens, and I, oh, my goodness, I really don't like to put it out there like that. But when we get put down at such a level like that, women will go to the extent, especially doing something they're not supposed to get what they want, you know, and it hurts myself, it hurts me, and it hurts also, like, yourself. That women will go to extent just to, like, get a raise. They'll do anything, like, under the table, literally, to get a raise, you know. So for $10,000, okay, all I have is $10,000, let me see if I could be with this guy and get this amount, which is bad for us. It makes us look bad, you know. There are women out there that they are like that.
You know, the funny thing is that there's so much discrimination laws and equal opportunity, but yet there's so many discreet yet obvious or conspicuous infractions that are being made by these businesses so much, and women are still, to this day, being pretty much flogged and enslaved in a lot of ways. So with that being said, it's like we're still sex targets, we're still, you know, having harassment issues going on. And don't get me wrong, because a lot of women are reversing the role on the sexual harassment. A lot of them are. Okay, I'm not taking away from the fact that a lot of these so-called, you know, liberated women are being, you know, playing the male role in a lot of ways. But we still can't walk the streets, you know, dressed in something that's classy and not be whistled at or have some guy, you know, swearing to God. But the whole point is, why would that apply to banking and corporate? Why would that apply? You know, if you're saying that I've planned this, I've marketed myself, I've gone out there and I've surveyed everybody for the target audience, this is what I've heard, and this is how I'm going to comply with that need. If you've given all that, you've put it on paper, you've got an outline, you've got projections, you've got past-to-date and up-to-date actions and success stories and progress reports, why on earth would there be extra restrictions on giving you a loan, especially a loan that has already been reduced by how much you would get on a cap anyway?
That's right.
And Mr. Williams, what is your take on that situation?
Well, I'm in agreement with it wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly, I am definitely in agreement with that.
I don't know. I mean, you're a male, so let me ask you. I know that you're thinking, you know, on the positive end of this, but what would make a person feel that a woman about to start a business is a bigger risk than a man?
I don't know why she would be considered a bigger risk.
Code we don't know about.
I don't see why she.
Hello? Oh, Lord,
you dropped. Oh. Hopefully we'll call back.
I'm really curious, and I'm really not being racist or funny or sexist or anything. I'm really curious because I've read, listen, even the online ads, Lady Diamond, they say women can get grants up to $5,000. Now, you know, what kind of business can you start with $5,000?
You can't start anything with $5,000. I mean, first off, you have to find, all right, if it's at home, you still have to get the equipment. If you want to buy a store, it's a lot more than $5,000. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, that means you have to get a bank loan. You have to get a loan now. Forget the grant. The grant's already used up already. I mean, you have to get a loan now. You have to get, you know, at least permission somewhere, a license. Everything is ridiculous. Even if it's at home, it's the same thing. You still have to get a loan now. You still need a license. You still need to add more money to it. A lot more than $5,000. It's the same thing with a grant for school. They give a certain amount of money for a grant for school, and it's still not enough compared to the amount of money that these schools are putting into, you know, are charging for these students. It's way more than what is being given to, you know, women, you know, that want to go back into school. And you still have to take out a loan on top of a loan just to get to where you, to get what you want. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous, and it seems almost crazy. And at first I was thinking that maybe we could attribute that to all the budget cuts and all the, but they're not cutting business. They're not cutting business. They're cutting what the poor people get, the health care, welfare.
Yes.
That's what they're doing. And
there's a lot of cuts on that, yeah.
Security. If we don't have Social Security to depend on as we get older, where is our country going to be? That
Social Security, by then, by the time I retire, it'll be gone.
Why not
like
look
that?
For every solution where we can internally regenerate and re-empower and restore ourselves? Okay?
That's right.
Why not? Why not look for that? It's very, very much a nutty thing, you know?
Cool.
And when I saw that they said you can get grants up to, that means, like, what's the minimum then? And what would they allow? Or what do they say?
So that means if you're qualified to get the grant, which is crazy, if you are qualified to get the grant, you can get up to $5,000. And in actuality, if you still make a certain amount of money, you will only get $2,000 worth of the grant.
That's really crazy. Even the way that they're budgeting, let's look at this. A single mom who has to apply for public assistance.
Okay.
They give more for public shelters than they would give to a mother that actually got her apartment and needs to sustain herself now. That I can tell you from, you know, personal seeing it for myself. They would give more money for a facility that has no cooking, that does have cooking. And you know why they do that? So that you as a homeless person can pay the shelter rent. But
that's
they
right.
won't give you that much grant in rent money for you to go actually get yourself a real apartment. The PATH facility, that's the, I forgot what it stands for, but it's for the homeless people. They make people walk with their bags and their children to walk all the way up to a place that doesn't have a nearby bus stop. The nearest bus stop is 5 blocks down the hill and 3 blocks over.
Mm.
Okay? You got to walk with all of your bags, all of your children, all of your papers. You better be ready to answer each and every different department they send you to before they can say, all right, we'll give you a place and your children a place for the night. Okay? After that, you have 15 days to be determined eligible to really need a place to stay in a shelter. And then you have to be in that shelter for 30 days minimum before
right.
they'll even start to qualify you for a grant to go live somewhere.
That's ridiculous. I mean, even if they give a grant out to, or let's say, like, you know, for an apartment, like, you want to get an apartment? Okay, here's a grant for this. You know how hard it is to get an apartment, especially in New York City? It's ridiculous the amount of money that they ask for.
And it's ridiculous the amount of money the city is giving a homeless family to work with. But you
exactly.
know what? We women do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell you, report all your income. Then they tell you, I mean, listen, by all means, I'm not saying that, you know, defraud the welfare system. If you're capable of making thousands of dollars, come on. But I'm talking about for those that really need it, that are really struggling, trying to get an edge up, trying to go to school, and this is the only way that they can feed their family. Then when you leave, now you have an apartment that in the shelter, your rent is covered by them because they give you enough to pay rent. Then you have the no utilities. The only thing that they compensate for is that you need to buy your own food in some of these places. Okay, well, let's look at this. Now you're leaving the shelter to go sustain yourself, as they say, is the reason for all the programs you're going through, right? So explain something to me. Why then would they cut the funding that they give you by half when now you have telephone, utilities, heat, now you have to cook for yourself? Why would they cut all this? Then again, why would you empower yourself, you can't get a schooling past an associate's degree? But here's the catch. The associate's degree is not even accepted any higher than a diploma, a high school diploma in the eyes of the corporate world. Nowadays, even the most basic of entry-level jobs require a minimum of a bachelor's degree.
Exactly.
But if you're on a public assistance, they only support schooling up to the associate's degree. And if you are going to your own bachelor's degree, they say it doesn't count for them. So they still want you to go and clean up their parks and their subways for free.
Yep.
So this is what they call empowering New York. Empowering America.
And it's ridiculous on that part.
Teaching you job skills. I'm a mother of many kids. Do I need you to tell me how the hell to clean something up?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need you to tell me how to clean something up? How am I learning job skills and life-achieving skills by going to clean up your subway and your parks for the same check you're already giving me every month? So if I'm working 9 hours, I'm not getting extra pay. I'm working for the check you're giving me, and this is what you're calling workforce empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you, America. Shame on you. Women can work. We will work. We have no pride in certain things. We will make sure things happen. We will accomplish the goals. Why on earth are we forced to sit there, answer every life-threatening question, every life-imposing question, report where the men's underwear came from, how much money is in your pocket right now, only for you to tell us we must attend this job skills class, and the jobs that we're going to give you is to go out there and clean the parks in the summer. But we're not paying you for that. You're working for the welfare check you're getting.
That's right.
And how on earth are you able to go find your own damn job if you're required to work for them for 35 hours a week? But this is empowerment, America. And the workforce that you have that can make everything you're going through right now be doubly restoring and doubly rebuilding in less time than you guys can do in a board meeting. You're not reaching out there. You're trying to keep us in the closet. How does that work? Exactly.
It doesn't work. Especially, all right, I know years back when I was looking for a job, the city, they'll put you in a workforce program. They still do it to this day, a workforce program. You go up there, you go sit in the classroom, talk to a whole bunch of employees, employers, whoever they are, and they will discuss, all right, if you are qualified for this position. And, yes, that's when the bracket went up from an associate's degree to a bachelor's degree. But not only do you need a bachelor's degree, you have to be certified in the title that you're going for. And not only do you have to be certified for that title, if you're not certified at all, you cannot get that job, you know. And if you want to work for a Fortune 500 company, you have to be certified to just type, which is crazy. You know, compared to, like, you and me, we could type 50 words per minute, but they're looking for someone who's certified, and they could be typing 30 words per minute.
And here's the funny thing. A lot of those paper certifications do not equal true certifications. It
That's
means
right.
You went to, did a class, you got 100 on your test, now go out in the work field and take that test exam and put it to real hands-on use. And see how far you get.
Yeah.
So this is the circle that we're in. They're cutting the same job that's out there because they're giving it to the Chinese, the Indians, the Japanese, the whatever.
Yeah.
They're cutting that. They're not allowing us to go out there and get jobs. We're only able to go to public assistance. Yeah. Yet public assistance is being cut down.
So you can raise it.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Oh, we got disconnected for a second, huh?
Oh, you're back.
But you're here. But you're on the air, as we were saying. So the vicious cycle is America says, we don't have jobs for you. We're giving it to the Chinese people because they give us more labor for cheaper money. We're giving it to the Indians because they're giving us more labor for cheaper money. Now, there's no jobs, but you can't be on public assistance. We'll give it to you, but you got to jump through your own hoops You're
Isn't that a type of discrimination?
No. This is what I'm saying. That what America is offering us is cut programs, but that's the only options we have with no jobs available. And
okay.
God forbid you're on. Oh, and by the way, here's the funny thing: if you have a deadbeat parent, whether it's the male or the female, you're required to go to a child support constant participation. Now, here's the deal: you have to go participate or cooperate with the Child Support Enforcement Bureau, right? All right, here you go.
Right.
But the only ultimate goal is that you have to keep complying with office visits until you get a court date and there's a judgment made. So now, I have a person, are you ready for this, that went to the judgment, got a judgment against the father, okay? And they said, oh, don't worry. We know about these guys playing these games and these women playing these games. We know when they say they can't work. Here's my question. Take the deadbeat fathers and put them in the parks and in the subways if they're claiming that they can't find a job, and make them work for what they owe their children. And teach the women how to go out there and really get a job. How about that? You got these women, and now check this out. This particular client I'm talking about not only already got a judgment from the New York City Family Court, and that the city itself hasn't picked up the 3 years old. No, excuse me. What is this? Yes, 2011. Yes, this man owes this woman 3 years worth of child support that totals, as it stands right now, $39,000. Okay.
Wow.
They haven't picked him up for nothing. He's been partying, buying jewelry, laughing in her face. But meanwhile, they got her threatening her that if you don't go down back to child support, your benefits will be cut. Which, by the way, they've already cut her benefits in half for the size family that she has.
Wow.
Now, what more is there to do with child support when the ultimate goal is to take the case to court and get a damn judgment? Now, you got a judgment. So why is this girl being threatened to go back to get a judgment? Now they want to take her back to court to amend the support order. To what? To more money he's not going to pay?
Wow.
So now that she's trying to get a job, she has to stop and go back to court. $39,000 and counting as we speak.
Wow.
The Child Support Enforcement Bureau didn't get one dime. But this person will do what to them? And they're threatening her benefits if she does not comply or not show up. I don't know who that is.
What is that noise?
No clue. One second. So that is completely and utterly, like, disgusting. Okay? Is everything better sounding over there, you two?
Well, I'm hearing something, background noise or something. I don't know what it is.
It's not here.
Okay.
But the
honesty, it's clear now.
Okay. So honestly, that's what's going on. This is what America's doing. You two, please hang on with me. I want to take a little break. Ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned earlier, the On the Edge show is now officially affiliated with Barry Mason's Track One Entertainment and Simply Sensational Incorporated. These are the guys in New York City that organize the hottest events. As a matter of fact, this coming Wednesday, New York City, on June 19th, Track One Entertainment and Double R Productions are sponsoring an event in the Brooklyn Terrace called the Rhythm Review Indoor-Outdoor Terrace Party. Contact Barry Mason for details on Facebook. We also have two new artists that we are adding to our market showcase. One is Kayla Shea from Toledo, Ohio. You guys have heard her single Lie to Me this week. And I'm going to be playing her before the show ends, as well as a brand new artist called Mike Chet, which I picked up at the group event that Track One just had on Tuesday with the singing sensation Allure. All of you remember that group.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Mike Chet, and he has a pretty cool single out. It's called Rewind Me and My Shorty. That's what I'm going to play on this break. Hang out with me. I'll be back in five.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. With interesting conversation that we're having here with regard to women and the workforce. And Deacon Zeddy Williams is with us, along with our co-host, Lady Diamond Elaine Yeves. Both have had some intriguing input put into this. The conversation has been absolutely wonderful. And I would like to hear from you, Elaine. Tell me some of your experiences as a matter of fact, your ideas, too. What do you think right now we could be able to do to empower the workforce right now and to help the economy out? Like, in spite of all the blocks that we're facing right now, is there anything you think can be done?
Anything you want to do. There's no limitations to you. Anything you would want to do or feel like you want to do, anything you set your minds to, You know, anything you want to do, there's no limitations on a woman or a man. But I feel like I would, if I was in a position to put a woman in a real powerful position, I would. I would have no hesitation about that. So there's okay. not really just one place, either or, either place that you might want to place them, they would fit right in. That's just my belief.
You know, and it's true because it really shouldn't be about, you know, like the huff and puff of genders. You know, there was a movie out quite a few years back, called A League of Their Own. Do you remember that? It was about the women.
Oh, Gina Davis, Madonna.
Yes.
Love
that. That was actually a real movie about a real situation. All right, they just portrayed the real people. You see what women were capable of doing. All the men were off to war, and baseball is a franchise that had to continue somehow. Okay, and at first nobody thought these women would be anything, and they wind up being big time, big time entertainment. But what happened was, when the men returned, suddenly their use was no longer had a purpose. You know, it was wonderful what you did. We didn't think you were going to get this far with it. You really did something. You made some money. But you know what? The boys are back in town. Now it's time for all y'all to go right back, make your babies, do your kitchen duty, be little wives again. These women were on buses, tour buses, carrying their kids, doing what they had to do, and making these men's businesses flourish in the time of a shutdown. So that's just the thing I brought up. Getting back to the first ladies in our history. Hillary Clinton was more the president than the president was, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. Hillary Clinton, I mean, I feel that all the president's wives, they play their role in it. And yes, they are empowering women. You know, it's not only Hillary Clinton, I mean, Michelle Obama's doing her part as well. And it's all women who are the society, their husbands, who are presidents of the United States, they had a huge role in it. They were the ones who was actually pushing everything through and make sure that everything was right. You know? I mean, those women were powerful.
Let me ask you something. Are you playing a radio in your background, Elaine?
Yeah, let me lower the volume on my TV.
Oh, okay.
It's probably my daughter singing, too.
Yeah, it's kind of a little like transmission type, you know. I was wondering if the FBI was... But honestly, we have a lot of self-maintenance to handle right now. We certainly do. We have a lot of internal cleanup before we can start talking certain things. And what I fear is that other countries are going to start seeing the loopholes in our strength force, and they're going to start digging away. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that if we don't start as women empowering ourselves and fighting the odds like we have to do on a daily basis, okay, we have to do this on a daily basis. Okay, I think that we need to stand up in our personal space, in our personal communities, and network with each other and do what we could do with the resources we could pull out of our hats and
That's
make
right.
something happen. Because if we don't, we're going to wind up having nothing left. They're even messing with Social Security now.
Yeah.
Something that you've been working your whole life to depend on retiring at. They're trying to raise the minimum retirement age now to, I think, 4 years more. They tried to cover that crap up, and excuse me, but it is, all right? They tried to cover up that decision by saying that a lot more elderly people are a lot more virile in working, and they'll work a little longer. Get out of my face. If you, this is me being as straight ghetto and saying this as possible. Listen to me very carefully. The option to retire at 65 should be their option. If they choose to work past it, their Social Security should still be there, even more past than it was at 65. You shouldn't
That's right.
be telling them that if you're going to be a retiree, you must do it at this age if they feel they got a little more juice in them. The whole point is that they're working as much as they can until they need to count on Social Security. And the way that these guys smokescreen their defects is ridiculous. So now you're saying that not only are you not trying to do everything you can to empower yourself, but you're going to punish the people that have done it this far? That you've been borrowing on their retirement fund, their 401k plans, their nest eggs, because you screwed up as the country's leaders? Seriously? And then you got the nerve to say that women don't qualify? When we were in office, there would have never been a deficit to begin with? This is called On the Edge for the reason, and this is the viewpoint of the host. Honestly, I just think, like, we fight every day just to exist. And then, God forbid, if you're not a Caucasian woman or a Caucasian person or one of the other people that they feel is corporately enriched or corporately empowered. If you're not Asian, if you're not Indian, if you're not from certain, you know, where we can exchange and, you know, do barter and trade to make this country go. It's horrible because we're right here in America struggling on a daily basis, giving our all, being the best, and we're not even being afforded the opportunity to get a bite at our own apple. That's the sad thing. Elaine, tell me what you think right now with everything that we're facing. What options do we have to empower ourselves or that you feel should be done despite the block? Tell me what your ideas would be.
Out of my sincerest heart and out of my mind, I feel that we individually, we should be able to do our own business. Even though, yes, it's granted, we need to raise money for it. We need to get money, you know, somewhere out of it. $5,000 is not going to be enough. But there has to be a way that we should be able to actually say, okay, you know what? I'm certified in pastries. I'm certified in, you know, doing photography. Let's see how far I can make it. You know, let me open up a little thing, a carnival, and sell my cookies, my brownies, my cupcakes, and see how much profit I can make off of that. You know, little by little. And you know, it's like it's ridiculous on that part of you, but I did that before. I said, you know what, let me see how much profit I can make off of this. Even though I was making very little money, still, you know, it was something for me to look forward to. That I started to develop clients along the way. You know, even though these clients, I was able to make brownies for them. I was able to make cupcakes for them. You know what I mean? I know someone who's doing a photography. I know two that's doing photography, you know, and one of them I'm helping out also. And him, he's going little by little, trying to get bigger and bigger through time. In order for him to do it, he has to gain clients. Everybody has to do the same thing. That, you know, we have to find a way to work together, say, okay, you're starting a little business here. Okay, I can help you with that. Now, can you help me with my business as well? You know, a lot of partnerships should go along the way, you know, and to work together, you know. Something small, because, I mean, yes, our economy is not doing so well according to what is being told. But there is a way that you can actually say, all right, I have this business. What do you think? Okay, since you're selling chickens, you know, and I know how to make fried chicken, I can help you out, and you can help me out along the way as well. You know, it's something that, you know, something very small that you could work with, like making jewelry, sewing, you know, something that you could actually develop clients. Even though it's a small amount, still, you could blow your business out little by little. We have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have different online, you know, feeds, you know, that we could use out, and we don't use it the right way. And we have to like, do like a little, we have to like try it. We have to actually try it out to actually see if we'll succeed. If it looks good, okay, we'll fix it up and we keep it going. You know, and, I mean, it's something that we have to look forward to. Avon, let's use Avon as an example. Avon was a very small business as it started off years ago. And look how big it boomed up. Everybody has an Avon magazine in their hands, you know, and they're ordering from these suppliers who are making, you know, that's another work-at-home thing that they're doing. That is profitable and it's actually legitimate compared to working online. Oh, yeah, work from home. Here's a pyramid scheme. You're starting from the bottom of the rope, but you got to work your way up. Yeah, Avon has that, but still, you're making money off of that, too. And you have to have legitimate clients just for you to keep on growing. And there's people who actually strive further with that.
You know, my mother, she's an Avon rep, and I help her out as well just to gain more clients. You know, I mean, there's little things that will help everybody out. And you have to be creative enough to push forward and actually say, okay, if I could do this, let's see how far I can go. Okay, I have 5 clients. Let's see if they could push, if they could throw my business out there more. And then before you know it, it will just multiply with many. It's going to take time and patience, which, yes, us New Yorkers do not have any patience. I admit, you know, we do not have any patience, but we have to grow some patience to actually grow what we need. And we cannot rely on the corporate world to hire, like, us women who are creative, who are multitaskers, who, you know, who strive for the best and to strengthen our ability of what we know, that we have to do it in our own way by doing our own little business. Forget about the $5,000 grant. Might as well just do it by yourself and gain the $5,000 doing it on your own, you know? So yes. Little things like that, it should help. People should actually partner up and actually grow through it.
Networking. And yes. I want to add, what you just said was so perfectly, absolutely insightful, informative, and definitely something that is a nail on the head. Let me add a little bit to that. Now explain. One of the things, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you women out there, first of all, as Lady Diamond said, we need to empower ourselves and network with each other. In addition to that, you need to learn your local business laws. And one of the things that I will tell you is this. Once you've established enough, let's say your little first chunk of revenue, do an LLC on your business so that you can establish yourself as a tax-paying entrepreneurship. Okay, so that you have staying power in your community, you have voting power beyond just being a regular voter, you have a right to contribute and make a difference. Not only that, with the little that you could do for someone else, just as she said, you go out there and say, this is my business, now can you spread mine? That's what one of the reasons why On the Edge has the market pages that we do. Advertising, of course, as much as part of business. Okay? So we offer free advertising 2 ways. One, we market you on a page that people can just visit anytime they want on our website. And then in addition, every Friday, we go down the list of people and explain what your business and services are. And where your location is, and who to contact. That way, every Friday, they'll know where to go, and then we repost it for you on our Facebook page. So we are constantly networking, and as long as it's posted there, it's always going to be an option for you. But learn your business laws. That way, you can report what you've done, where you've done. No one can say that you're harboring any type of income. You are giving back to the economy. You are a standing business, and you are part of restructuring America's losses and building us back to where we should have been as a capitalist country. But as a woman, being able to do this, just like I believe that we have some people who came in after this point with me. Deacon Williams, are you in on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't think that you were in when the point came up about, I think you got cut off at that time. Women trying to start a business are only getting up to like $5,000 in grants to start up, whereas men can walk in with an unnamed number and they can negotiate what they need. Now, $5,000 may be a lot for somebody that maybe is starting, you know, I just want to go buy cakes and do a market sale so we could go to the supermarket and buy whatever, because I'm not cooking and I'm not baking. You know, we could just buy a lot of coolers and, you know. But when you're trying to start a substantial business, okay, where you need equipment and you need a fax and you need a phone and you need the ink that goes into that printer and you need the paper to print from the ink and you need the networking and you need cell phones for your employees, where is $5,000 going to go? So that's what women entrepreneurs are up against. Unless you can really and truly convince some private investors to go a little further, you know, and then on top of that little cap of $5,000, they're requiring that, first of all, we bring more proof to the table just to get a sit-down, and then after this loan is approved, we're saying grants that's supposed to be not paid back and loans that are just as equal as the grant. So on top of all of that, we not only have to show what we're asking for, what we're trying to do, but we have to prove ourselves really using the grant for what we ask for twice as much as the average business. Meaning we got to provide twice the amount of receipts. We've got to account for way more pennies down to the penny, which makes no sense to me at all, which is before you got cut off, the question I was asking you. What in a man's mind would make them think that a woman is riskier at business than a man trying to start a business? Hello?
Hello? What is that noise?
I have no clue. Is that you, Ellie?
No, that's not me.
No clue. All right, well, it's gone now.
Okay, yeah.
What I was asking is, I was wondering, is it maybe because, let me try to rephrase this correctly. Maybe they feel women don't handle money issues the way a guy does, or I don't know. I'm trying to wrap an idea around my head that gives this some logical explanation. But what would you think this comes from?
Yeah. Your guess is as good as mine. It comes from another planet or something, because I just don't have any way of understanding that. It just doesn't sit well with me.
It's baffling. They're offering,
yes,
I mean, if you even on Facebook, you two, do this as an experiment when you log off with me. Pay attention to those little pop-up ads that come up in the little blog area of your Facebook pages and see what they offer women to go back to school, to start a business. And then once you get that, it's like everybody's qualified for this. When you go to actually apply, that's when you start seeing all the fine print. And,
yeah.
And once again, you're going to restrict the most productive and the most qualified workforce that's going to give you the most return investment than you would to the ones that's going to, I don't know. I can't understand how this first world country that has been known as the great standing America can be so self-inflicting. Can inject such self-destruction. And the thing is, we have these little people in caves with working with sand and glass stones that are coming in and pretty much outdoing us
yeah.
on our own technology. Because we're not asking our own computer whizzes in America to figure out how this works and perfect this technology. We're sending it out to the people that can use our own technology against us.
Right.
So we don't look to our own people to not only walk the walk, talk the talk, but walk the walk. America's the big bad giant, but yet we don't even have mothers that can feed their babies with all this great stuff. And now we are in debt to other people who are less productive on their own. But we
yeah.
have a gold mine of workforce workers right here in your own homeland, on your own soil.
Yes. Yes, sir. It's crazy out there. It is really crazy out there. It's all about the fat cats getting fatter.
That's
you know,
right.
And it's all about the green. It's all about the green. But it's going to come back to backfire. Yeah. Yeah.
If we don't do something for ourselves and make ourselves be a part of the necessary restructuring and rebuilding of this economy, we don't have any green left, and our children are going to grow up to barren desert land,
mm-hmm.
even in the city. It's going to really look like those end-of-the-world movies that the bridges look like and all the dust and debris and the gray sky. If we don't start getting with it, like you said, Lady Diamond, network with each other, sell your cupcakes, do your hair, but guess what? LLC your business.
That's
so
right.
It gives you voting power, community power. It gives you a right to say, I'm giving something back. I'm not holding taxes. You guys are taxing my business.
That's right.
Plus, I'm a voter, but I'm doing something to give back to the community. I'm making America look like our corporations are back up and buzzing. That's what counts. It's not just about doing your little thing and sticking it in the cookie jar on the counter or in your bosom, because I do that often. All right? But it's about actually taking that money and putting it back into revenue that can give you collateral and status with people that can help you reinvest and remarket it all back out and recycle it all over again. And then you, once you become successful in your business, you can add an employee or two and create a job. You can add an employee now to your business. You can give them something small, and you can give them a weekly pay, and they have to pay taxes, and now the business is, we're putting money back into our pool there. But they have to allow us to do this, and they can't keep restricting us. We're not the little ladies' baseball team because the guys are at war. We're a real empowered workforce group that can do more in an hour than you guys can do in a boardroom in an 8-hour shift plus overtime.
That's right.
And I always tell everybody, you walk a day in a mother's shoes. No, do 1 hour of our day in a 24-hour period and see if you can handle it. I'll give you 24 hours to accomplish my 1 hour task.
Yep.
And see how far you get. But this is what America is actually doing to us now. And if they don't rise up and start looking at the gold mine that they have in the gold mine, and you know, take off the cellar covers and open those closet doors and unchain us, okay, they're going to be dependent on the very people we owe money to now. We have about 8 minutes left in this broadcast. I owe an airplay to the Toledo artist, Kayla Shea. And I need to take a break because I do have one more announcement that I'm looking for to bring back up. And I believe I want to bring some links up to actually mention on the air for those of us listening, those of you listening that's actually trying to get started from this broadcast and doing something. We're all trying to network here. We all believe that our children need a future. Because apparently the people who promise us the future is not doing a darn thing to make it happen. God is being diminished in people's minds, even in the churches that it's coming from. So if we're losing hope on all aspects, somebody better step up to the plate, open their mouth, and stamp their feet.
People have to start believing. People have to start pushing forward and being hopeful, you know. They have to push forward. I was the same way. I was very negative. I was a lot of things.
Yes.
Then I decided, I said, you know what, this is a new year. I'm going to put it in God's hands. I'm going to push forward, and I know this will come. I know this is going to happen. It's my time. It's my time. And it's happened. It's happened, and it's still happening. A lot of good things is happening. And the thing is, nobody's doing that. Not everybody's doing that. Everybody's thinking negative. They have to push forward and say, you know what, I got to try this. Let me see. I'm going to be successful. They have to talk to us and actually push us and saying, I am going to be successful. I'm going to push forward. I have to do this. I'm going to do this. And they will do it. No, it's doing that now.
Yeah, you have hit the nail directly on the head. That's what everybody has to do, is start getting back. See, it's just mind-boggling to me. It's just that everybody seems to be distancing themselves away from the Word of God, and that's very important in your lives. And the Word tells you to keep pressing on no matter what is going on around you. You have to keep pressing on. Don't never give up. You know, you lift your prayers up to Him, and you can get anything that you want and ever will need, because He's going to always give you all the things that you need, not just your wants. So that's my final thought.
And the Word also says that no matter what kind of a famine or a situation is going on around you, God will always protect His children and help His children have and thrive. So you're absolutely right in keeping your prayer up. We have to. We are under attack, period.
Yes.
God's children are under attack. The good people are out there, you know, trying to do right, and the devil is snapping quicker and faster than ever, because he got to distract you faster than God can bless you. But as it stands right now, we have to learn how to empower ourselves, because they're not trying to give us the education on how to do it. And I don't mean schooling. I mean they're not trying to teach you the ins and outs of corporations or corporate life. They're not trying to tell you, go license your work. go get a certificate, go copyright your product. But they're not telling you this as a woman. But they don't understand that a woman will always be educating herself on the down low.
That's right.
That's why a woman can tell a lot of things faster in a person than they can before they even admit that they've done it. Yeah, you ever notice that a mother can read her child is lying right through his teeth while she's sitting there nodding her head like she believes every word?
Yep.
Okay? So that's just the thing. If we're that smart to do it, if we can read people, if we can sense that people are out to stomp us down, then guess what? Take your knowledge. Don't be telling everybody. This is me being straight up. Don't go telling everybody what your ideas are before you've implanted that idea yourself. Test it. Get it done. Copyright it. Get it LLC'd. And then get to moving. And then you can spread your joy.
That's right.
And whatever you do, focus on perfecting what you have so that you could be a good individual.
And make it better.
Right. You could be a great individual, a strong individual, and then you could be a perfect team member. And that's the way that goes.
That's
guys,
right.
I'll be back in break. We got just a few minutes. And I'm trying to find it. Oh, Lord, the studio is acting up. You know what? We are actually down to 3 minutes. So let me just give my final closing words because we're not going to have time to play it out. Okay, Lisa, I promise you tomorrow on the showcase, you got 3 plays, honey. Here we go. Guys, women out there, start to blend in unity thinking. Stop thinking that women belong, you know, with a weaker sex, with a softer gender. We are soft by all physical whatever, but we are sharp as whips when it comes down to making things happen. If we have a stone, a pot of water, and a match, we're going to make rock soup, and you will never know it's a rock because that's how we think. But in the workforce, America, the best way for you to get out of this rut is to bring the people who you put under the rut to be back on top and clean up your mess. And that's the way we do it. Ladies, empower yourself. Remember that you are strong. You do more in a day and an hour than your whole life people around you do in a day. And if we can handle that, we can definitely handle a job. And if the job's going to have you, darn it, create some yourself. You know, everything that you do in your life can be a product or service to sell. Everything. And everything from there can be a network. And from there, it works. So, good night, everybody. I just want to let everybody know that we thank you because Elaine, Lady Diamond?
Yes.
Lady Diamond?
Yes.
We are officially at 3,012 listeners.
That is great.
Wow.
And remember, 3,012 listeners, and the tallies are still coming in. We have live callers. They have not even counted yet. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for making this show and the mission that we are trying to do. Something that you also find important and valuable. Thank you for spreading the word. Thank you for sticking through our microphone glitches, our drop calls, our cyberspace kidnappings, the whole nine. Thank you.
And it's only going to get better.
We're working really hard to make a difference. So until then, everybody, I will see you here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. Ladies, go network. Come back with something big. And when you go out there, you do what we do best to make something happen. Until then, God bless everybody.
Good night.
Back at you.
Thank you.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.